Kevin, I've got some bad news. I got called into the league office this week.
Uh-oh. What did the commish do?
The commissioner was on me. It wasn't.
What happened?
It wasn't good. I screwed up. Well, I got a large fine. There's discussion of taking away some draft picks. I blew it. We didn't have an episode of the end zone last week because myself, as editor of the End Zone and the publisher for Fandom Podcast Network shows, hit something and the file got corrupted out. And so I want to apologize to our listeners and say, give you my sincerest apologies that we did not have an episode of the End Zone last week. But in my defense, Kevin, no, I was a little sunburned. I wasn't quite in my right head. And, you know, last week, Kevin, I know was a very special weekend for you. So I'm going to just welcome everybody to the End Zone. And do we have a tale to tell you? Mr. Reitzel, if you will, please.
Well, we had covered in the episode that I went down to visit you, and we went to go see the Raiders play Tampa Bay. And it was a very hot day for us. I was baking underneath my Mando Raider nerd outfit, and you didn't have any sun protection, and we were in the visitor's end zone and we saw one of the most exciting games in person, and went into overtime. Raiders were able to pull out a touchdown there before it went into a tie, and man, it was a good time. It was a good time hanging out with you. We had gone to Universal Studios, went to the Harry Potter World on the Friday before, and it was just a great time. I just want to give a shout out to Kirsten Black and David Covey, I think is his name, of the Florida Raider Nation fan club down there. They did a great job organizing everything, including the meetups on Friday and Saturday, as well as the awesome tailgate on Sunday morning game day. So just a great time, and I was really happy that you got to experience that that weekend with me, man. And thank you for having me over too. It was great to crash at your place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, you know, as a Chiefs fan, I have to put aside my color blindness, shall we say, and just say the Raider group here in Florida and all the Raider fans who traveled down here were excellent. They were open arms. There was of course the initial ragging going back and forth on each other, but everybody was respectful and everybody just had a great time. And Kevin, I can't thank you enough for allowing me to be part of all that. It was a great group of people. You know, they fit in with the Halloween crowd real well, though. You know, so
well, that's what the Raiders do. They the fans travel very well, and it was I'm glad you got to experience my extended family, many of whom I didn't get to see for a while. A lot of them that travel a lot more than I do, of course, I tip my hats off to them, and it was kind of like a family reunion, and I'm happy that you got to experience that part of my fandom as well as my friends, so appreciate that. It was a lot of fun, and it was a great way to end that weekend with the Raiders winning in overtime as they did, and just finding ways to win. It was great.
Yeah, no, it was an amazing game. We had a couple NFL records. Derek Carr started the MVP talk for him. So, yeah, no, it was an amazing game. And I had an experience that I'm so glad I was able to share with my good friend here, because it was outstanding. And, you know, you still have not received my bill for photo services yet, but that's a whole other story.
Yes, you did. You were very patient. You took many pictures for me.
So now moving on, you know, we week 8 is well past. We don't want to rehash too much. Kevin's Raiders won, my Chiefs won, beating the Colts, but let's talk about week 9, Kevin, because it was a good week for both of our teams. And you know what? I'm not going to steal your thunder, because your team played in probably the biggest game of the week, and all I've got to say is, wow, that was impressive.
Yes, Raiders got a primetime game on Sunday night, and a lot was at stake. This was this is one of those games that was kind of a throwback to the 70s and 80s when the Raiders were more competitive and been playing well consistently for a very long time, and the Raiders are now starting to do that. And, you know, there's some speculation of if they were pretenders or if they're the real thing because of, you know, a lot of the wins that they've done on the road have been against subpar teams, at least where they stand now. But they've been finding ways to win. And so they had a Sunday night stage at home in the Black Hole, O.co Stadium there in Oakland, against the Denver Broncos, Super Bowl winning championship team. And coming into Oakland, both tied for first place. And, you know, there was a lot of speculation of, you know, what the Raiders were going to be able to do. And let's just say this, they were dominant. They never trailed in the game. And they were able to stop Denver on both sides of the ball, even get a turnover. And the offense was just rolling, man, just clicking. The running game was able – Murray went for 3 touchdowns. Offensive line was just working, man, and that was really helping the running game, but also protecting Carr in the passing game as well. It was just fantastic. I think they only got 1 sack on Carr. And it was just – it was really exciting. But the weird thing for me was I was watching this at the Raider Club, and a lot of us were just – you're kind of on pins and needles, you know. When you root for a team that has been so bad for so long, you get really excited about the small things. You get excited about a first down. You get excited about the sack. And there's all these little things that you get excited about, even though you know your team's mediocre and it's not being competitive. But it was weird. It was a different feeling watching this game with my club because you know when we got the. When we score a touchdown, when we got this, you know, we got excited, but we weren't like, you know, we weren't that excited because we were like, okay, what are we seeing here? You know, we're trying to be realistic. And did you watch this game at all?
I did watch some of it. I was kind of thrown too, because it really was a different Raiders team than what we've seen all season. For one, I mean, you guys have done a great job of protecting Derek Carr, but your line has not opened up running lanes that well. And yet that you guys were running all over the Denver Broncos defense, which granted they're missing some players and it's starting to show for them, but that's still an elite defense and you shut them down. And your defense has definitely improved as the season's gone along. But I also think that we've seen Trevor Siemian come back to reality some as well from what we were seeing from him at the beginning of the season.
Well, it's part of, you know, our defense, you know, because he was making some clutch throws, but our defense was coming through. But what was interesting about the offensive line was that they went with a 6-man front as opposed to the normal 5. And I don't know if they were doing that specifically for Denver and planning against that, but it was working. And go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, yeah, it was definitely working for them. I mean, they look like a different football team. I'm gonna go back to the Chiefs game from a couple of weeks ago, where they couldn't seem to get out of their own way at times, and here they just look like a team on a mission this week.
Well, what's interesting,
and it was very impressive. I gotta say, my friend.
No, yeah, you know, you referenced that Chiefs game, and you know, we couldn't stop the Chiefs at home on different parts of the on several different sides of the ball there, and I think this is a good example of a team maturing and gelling together. And the team that played the Chiefs and also that lost to also lost at home to the Falcons, the Raiders are a different team now from several games ago. There's this this confidence is helping them working together, knowing who's going to go where. It's exciting to see actual development of a team and seeing them making these steps, as opposed to, you know, it feels like we're taking like 2 or 3 steps forward and maybe 1 step back, where before it was like 1 step forward, 3 steps back, you know. And you know, Marquette King, come on, dude, this guy is This guy is the best punter in the league, but also entertaining to watch. I mean, this guy is pinning everyone beyond, you know, around the 15, 10, 5 yard yard mark in these punts. And he's also very athletic too. And this guy is just fun to watch, man. I'm very proud of our punter.
Yeah, no, he's very athletic. A lot of people were questioning him because the Raiders did give him a pretty decent contract over the offseason, and I think it was well worth the money. Yeah. But, you know, Kevin, we're talking about the Raiders, and yes, there's all this hype, but you still share first place with somebody who happens to have a tiebreaker over you.
We are alone in first place right now. You may have the tiebreaker if we haven't, you know, but you have to wait. There's still another game between us, bro.
Well, yeah, well, but you're also going to see a very different Kansas City Chiefs team than what you even saw.
That's right. You're going to have some players back, but of course you're not going to have one of your running backs. So what's going on there with your running back situation?
Well, let's talk about, because it's been a crazy week for Kansas City. Yes, they got a victory over Jacksonville, and a lot of people are saying it's an ugly victory. But let's talk about that for a second. Backup quarterback. No Jeremy Maclin, no Spencer Ware, no Jamal Charles. They were also missing one of their starting offensive linemen and still a few key defensive pieces. And they still pulled out a win against a healthy Jacksonville team. But here's the big things that are going on in Kansas City right now. Jamal Charles has been pushed back on IR, will be out the rest of the season. I don't as much as I love Jamal Charles and, you know, want him out on the field, he's barely played for them all season. That's not a big impact. Spencer Ware, who has been phenomenal for Kansas City this season, is still in the concussion protocol. Everything I'm reading is saying he'll be out of it by game time this week. He should be cleared to play. The great thing about Kansas City, though, is they still have depth at running back that I think a lot of teams wish they had, because the next man up, Charkandrick West, who is a pretty good running back in his own right. And Kevin, I want to talk to you about probably the craziest 2 weeks of any NFL player might have had. And that is one Nile Davis, who Kansas City traded a couple weeks ago to the Green Bay Packers, where it was expected he was going to take over a starting role because both James Starks and Eddie Lacy were hurt. Now, James Starks is coming back sooner than expected. So Green Bay.
And also because of Ty Montgomery, on the same day, the running back and wide receiver.
Yes. So now Davis then gets proceeded to be picked up by the New York Jets, who proceeded to cut him 2 hours later when they realized they had an injury and had to fill depth at another position. Nile Davis then was claimed off waivers once again by the Kansas City Chiefs and was their backup running back in the game against Jacksonville on Sunday. You tell me another player who's been through something like that.
Was that all like within a week?
Within like a week and a half span.
Oh, man. That's funny.
But that's not even the big news involving the Kansas City Chiefs, Kevin. And I know this is something that, as well as the Raiders have protected Derek Carr, the guy who's about to step on the field, probably not this week against Carolina because they're playing on the side of caution, but will be stepping up the following week, is not a guy Raider fan
wants to
see stepping on
the football
field. Oh,
don't put the fear on the Raiders right now, dude. We don't fear him. Come on. He's going to be rusty. I'm not afraid of him.
No.
Who are you talking about?
Yeah, number 50. That would be one Mr. Justin Houston. It's on the way back, and quarterbacks in the league are not happy about it. He has missed missed the end of last season, including the playoffs, and most of the season with a knee injury. He has been practicing for the last 2 weeks and has been cleared to play. Kansas City playing on the side of caution again.
Don't put
we'll
all your
play him
defensive eggs in that Houston basket, man. Come on. Let's let him play first. Let's let him be productive first.
But there has been other good things that have come out of this, and that is the development of first-round draft pick from a couple of years ago, Dee Ford, who has, in the last few games, really stepped it up a notch. I think he did get to Mr. Carr the last game, if I'm not mistaken, because there was a fumble involved there. And let's not forget to Mr. Marcus Peters, who does lead the NFL in interceptions. And he does have one of Mr. Carr.
Yes. Yep.
I know you're trying to forget. Yeah, I know you're trying to forget about that. But no, I think our teams are on a collision course to battle it out for this division. Denver's still going to be in the mix, but I think Denver's kind of on a downturn right now.
Yeah, so. As much as I'm...
Are the AFC West by...
I'm enjoying the Raiders being in first place right now. We haven't been in this position in a long time. But, you know, beating Denver was a huge thing because, well, we hate Denver more than Chiefs. At least I do. So, yeah, it's, you know, we can go on and on about our division here, but we should see what else is happening in the rest of the league now.
Well, absolutely. But I do have, and this is kind of looking at the rest of the league, but I have to bring this up because it is still in the AFC West, but the San Diego Chargers are a scary football team, and Melvin Gordon, who a lot of people had written down as a bust after his last season, I think he's proving them wrong now because he had a phenomenal game against the Tennessee Titans this past week.
Yeah, I think they are definitely better than their record, and they're a scrappy team, and you can't count them out. And I'm not ready to buy into them making a legitimate run in this division. When it comes down to a playoff spot, I think there's too many other teams that are going to be more consistent to yank that up. I can see them playing the spoiler, though. I can see them beating some key people to drop some other people out of the race, though. I can definitely see them play that. But I think it's a little too late for San Diego to be competitive in any of these playoff races right now, unless everyone else just collapses, and I don't see that happening.
No, I agree. But here's the crazy thing that's been this NFL season, Kevin. You know, we've talked about ratings being down, everything like that. After Monday night's game, which I'm going to get to in a minute because that was crazy last night, and today we are recording on November 8th, Election Day. Hope you've got out and voted. But there are only less than a third of the league is over 500, Kevin.
This is true.
I mean, that's just... ridiculous. Less than a third. Not even 10 teams are over 500.
Yeah, it is weird, dude.
I mean, let's go. I want to, you know, there was some big games on Sunday, but I have to address. Did you watch Monday Night Football, Kevin? I know it's two teams that you might not be.
I did not. I had to get to bed. I did not, but I got caught up on the highlights and lowlights later on, especially the whole Sherman into the kicker thing and stuff not being called for the Bills and, you know, just, God, I don't know what's going on with our refs, dude.
Yeah. Well, and everybody's talking about, well, the quality of play and everything like that. The NFL officials are terrible this year. We're talking about some very good officials in previous years. So I do believe it might be time for the NFL to have year-round officials where these guys are doing stuff in the offseason to keep their skills because it's just getting ridiculous and it is starting to take away from the game. I mean, that game last night was an outstanding game. It came down to the final few plays, but how you cannot call roughing the kicker on Richard Sherman at the end of the half that if he can make that field goal changes the whole complexion of that game, including the final few plays. It's mind-blowing. Even the NFL has said they screwed up and should have called the penalty.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm getting...
I mean, I'm sure Seattle feels like they're... Oh.
This is what I'm getting tired of. I'm getting tired of the NFL saying, yep, you know, like after the matter saying, yep, that should have been called, bad on us. This is where I'm feeling like I'm getting to the point now because this is getting so bad. We now... the reason why we have the challenge, the reason why we have the instant replay, now there has to be like a separate coach's penalty challenge saying, you know, because the rest of the world can see it on national television, the players and the coaches can see it on the sidelines. Why wasn't this called? Why can't they throw out, I don't know, a green flag or something saying, no, I want to know why that wasn't called. Then it goes up into someone up in the booth that says, you know what, you know, you guys messed up. This has to be a penalty. This has to be called. You know, so it's getting to that point right now where we got to like double check everything, because you're right. The officiating is just horrible. They're not catching things. Same thing with the Cam Newton stuff. You know, there was stuff that should have been called on him, even though he's a big baby loser, crybaby when he loses. But, you know, he definitely was getting some bad not calls, you know, that he should have gotten.
Yeah. Now, but I do want to address something that was exciting. And while the game itself may have not been all that thrilling until the end, I got to give it up to Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
They're in contention for their division. They have trailed in every game in the fourth quarter this season. And Matthew Stafford, a lot of people thought he was just going to fall apart without having Calvin Johnson there this year. This guy's a legitimate MVP candidate. I mean, he's not the front runner by any means. I think that's still Brady, followed shortly by your guy, Derek Carr. But this guy's having a season, and he has pulled Detroit games out the last 3 weeks now. And with a little help from Matt Prater, who was about the only kicker who could make a kick over the weekend, it seemed like. The Detroit Lions are a fun football team, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, they're definitely fun to watch. And that whole NFC North team is... You got the Minnesota Vikings at 5-3. You got the Detroit at 5-4. Packers are 4-4, and the Chicago's 2-6. It's going to be an interesting year to see who takes that. But you're right; it's fun to watch the Lions, and I assume they're playing on Thanksgiving Day, correct?
Oh yeah, that they're one of the teams that always plays on.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving.
So that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I was going to say, speaking of Thanksgiving, I would talk about the continuing winning streak of the Dallas Cowboys, but they played the Cleveland Browns. It doesn't count. So
yeah, but it's still a win. I mean, it wasn't a blowout win, was it?
Oh yeah, you're right.
It was. Yeah,
Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott had a day.
Hold on a sec. I want to talk about the power rankings right now.
Well, depends on which one you're talking about, because I know ESPN had your Raiders
at
number 3.
Yes, and who is it? Elliot Hansen had him at number 5. But I want to talk about, I don't want to just talk about the Raiders making it up there. I want to talk about right now they got the Patriots at 1, they got the Cowboys at 2. I'm talking about Elliot Hansen here. 3, they've got your Chiefs. 4, they've got the Falcons. And 5, they got the Raiders. So let's look at this. Since we're, you know, a game into the halfway through the season here, top ranked positions, obviously let's just give it to the Patriots. They're the team to beat on the AFC side. And, you know, unless they completely, you know, fall apart or someone just comes in hot handed like the Giants did years ago against them. NFC, is it the Cowboys' turn, or are we looking at, you know, Falcons and Seahawks? And, you know, they even got the Lions at number 8. Over the Giants, or over the Eagles, and over the Vikings, and over the Packers.
Well, here's what I'm going to say about the NFC, because I think the AFC, you got about 4 teams in the AFC mix right now that I think any one of those 4 could end up in the Super Bowl, and that includes my Chiefs and your Raiders. But you look at the NFC, what Dallas is doing is amazing. Dak Prescott is having a phenomenal rookie year. Rob Marinelli is pulling stuff out of that defense that's decimated by injury. But I'm still not completely 100% sold on the Dallas Cowboys, because to me, what I'm seeing in the NFC is there's a lot of teams that could get really hot real quick, and they could be scary. I look at the Seattle Seahawks. As long as Russell Wilson is healthy and they've got that defense, you cannot count them out. I look at the Atlanta Falcons. That offense is just ridiculous. And if they can get any kind of defense, they could be scary. And as much as I am saying they're playing some ugly football on defense right now, if the New York Giants slip into the playoffs, does anybody really want to deal with Eli Manning in the playoffs? He has a pretty good track record once he gets
in. Yeah, and he's got a couple of good receivers there. They're kind of sketchy at running back. Now, what I don't get is, what is with Jerry Jones? How come he is not committing to Dak right now?
Because I think as much as Jerry is probably committing to Dak as much as he will, Jerry is Jerry, and he has a soft spot for his boys, and Tony Romo has always been one of Jerry Jones's boys. Jerry Jones has stood by Tony Romo through thick and thin. And I don't think, say what you will about Jerry Jones, the one thing I have never seen is him throw one of his players under the bus.
Yeah, of course he's paying him a crap load of money too. But still, I mean, come on. I don't know.
Yeah, no, this is Dak's team.
Yeah, I don't understand why they even have a head coach, because Jerry's just got his hands in everything. He just might as well, he makes all the decisions anyway, so.
Well, you know, but I think we'd all miss Jerry if he wasn't around, so. But, you know, it's just, this is like I was talking about earlier, Kevin. You know, I love the NFL, I love pro football, but this has been kind of one of the harder seasons to watch. I mean, again, we go back to less than a third of the league has a winning record. The officiating has been terrible this season. Even other little things. The number one draft pick, whose team is getting absolutely terrible quarterback play right now, and he still cannot get on the field.
Yeah, Jeff Fisher, I'm still amazed he still has a job. He is standing by Case Keenum. I'm looking at the record here of all the teams, and it's funny, behind the Patriots, you got Dolphins at 4-4, Buffalo at 4-5. The AFC North, Baltimore and Pittsburgh's tied at 4-4. Baltimore has a tiebreaker, of course. AFC South, you've got Houston Texans at 5-3, Colts and Tennessee tied for 4-5. Of course, AFC West, you got the Raiders at 7-2, and you got the Chiefs and Denver. Chiefs are at 6-2, and Denver are at 6-3. And then behind Dallas, you've got New York Giants at 5-3, Washington at 4-3, and Philadelphia at 4-4. And it's crazy. Yeah. Gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it's ugly right now. And I think people talk about how the NFL ratings are down a little bit. I think that there's a lot of reasons why, but I think the league has always strived for parity, but I think the problem is that the parity is going in the wrong direction of a lot more bad teams.
I think the problem too, and we touched on it a few weeks ago, is that these primetime games, they're having really boring matchups, with the exception of, you know, maybe last night and the Raiders Denver matchup as well. But you know, that's when you really got to kind of have the flex option, I think, early when it comes to this.
Who wants to see a
Jacksonville and a Houston thing? You know, I mean,
it's ugly right now. But you know, we're talking about ugly things. Do we really have to talk fantasy football this week? Because the last two weeks have been a little rough. I know you had some decent life in fantasy football this week.
Well, no. It's funny though. I was playing against Ben's team, who is our friend that we hung out with there at Universal for the Tampa weekend. He's Death's Touch. He's at number one at 8-1 right now. I had a chance to beat him. We came down to, he was up by, I think, 10 points going into the Monday night game. He had Christine Michael, and I had the backup. How do you say it? What's that?
Gillespie? Mike Gillespie?
The backup to Christine Michael.
Oh, the backup to Christine Michael. I think maybe I'm thinking of another league. Yeah. I can't think of his name either.
What's his name? CJ Procy. I had a choice either to play him or to play Mike Gillespie. And I wasn't sure what to do with Gillespie because, what's his name? The starter for Buffalo was going to play. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And so I went with CJ because he did really well last week. Of course, he didn't pay off and I lost. So I had a chance to make a jump up there, and that did not happen. I was like, darn it. I'm playing though. I'm not giving up on my team, but I'm at 4-5 right now. You are also at 4-5, but you have the tiebreaker, so you're fifth overall right now.
And this was one of the weeks for me, Kevin, in that particular league where you know, sometimes real life happens and you have to adult and you get distracted. And I missed about one Spencer Ware being out of the game in the Kansas City game. And I missed a bye week of a team I thought was playing and they weren't. And the bye week killed me this week. This was, there were so many teams on bye, and the bye week was just brutal on me this week.
Yeah. It's interesting too. It's like, you know, the big struggle that we have too is trying to see who we can pick off the waiver wire. It's so tough right now.
Oh yeah. We're getting to the point in waiver wires where it actually is getting a little interesting, because you have guys that are starting to come back from injury, or, you know, some guys who maybe have been cycled through a few teams.
So yeah.
You're kind of picking off the scrap heap a little bit.
Marcus Mariota is still available if anyone needs a quarterback, and Sam Bradford, of course. But, you know, we're looking for like the running backs that, you know, can come in and do something, you know, and I don't know who to trust anymore. Paul Perkins, New York Giants, he's around. Peyton Barber, Juwan Harris. I don't even know if I can trust James White now that Dion's going to be back for New England. So,
I know. It's crazy. This has been one of the more bizarre NFL seasons in a long time.
But we'll see. I'm still fighting for a playoff spot. I may be 4-5, but I'm still fighting. Still fighting. Gonna keep it going.
You gotta believe, man. You gotta believe.
Oh man.
Now, let's move on to more exciting times, and let's talk about what's coming up in the next week of the season, because there's some interesting matchups as I'm going through this, because I don't think, is there, if I'm looking right, there's no buys. Are we done with the buys, Kevin?
No. My Raiders have a bye this week.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I tend to just put them out of my
mind.
Nice try.
We got Buffalo, Detroit, Indianapolis, and Oakland. And you know what's funny is, man, this is going to be a great bye week. I love that our team had this great win on Sunday night. We go on a bye, and then our next game is another primetime game Monday night. Technically, it's a home game, but it's going to be in Mexico City against the Houston Texans. And there's
Well, considering your road record this year, I think that's
might
be
a good
thing.
Yeah, plus there's a lot of Raider fans in Mexico, so I know that stadium's going to be booming.
Yeah. Now, I do want to lead off, not so much with a game of the week kind of pick, but we were talking about boring primetime games. Thursday, November 10th, the Cleveland Browns at the Baltimore Ravens for Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, it is a divisional game, but it's Cleveland. Oh, man.
But I got to say this. I think there's one clear-cut choice for game of the week, and we are going back to primetime, and that is the Sunday night football game. A rematch of the Super Bowl from 2 years ago, the Seattle Seahawks.
See, that's a primetime game right there. That is worth watching right there. Even though you may hate one of the teams, that is definitely one. Now, for the Monday night game, you got Giants hosting Cincinnati. Now, that I think is an okay game.
There's potential.
Because the Giants are they're scrapping back here. They're kind of starting to gel a little bit. You know, they just beat Philadelphia at home, so that and Cincinnati's trying to salvage their season there. So that'll be interesting.
I like Cowboys at Pittsburgh at 4:25.
Yeah, Cowboys at Pittsburgh, and also you got your Chiefs are playing at Carolina. How you feeling about that?
That game, I have to admit, the game has me a little worried. I'll feel a little better once Spencer Ware is fully cleared. I already know Alex Smith will be back in at quarterback, which makes me happy. Carolina is one of those teams I don't know what to expect out of them right now, because they're starting to get on a little bit of a roll. But I think, you know, their offense is still fairly limited, and I think with Cam Newton's penance this season for turning the ball over a little bit. It's something Kansas City can take advantage of. But this is strength against strength, because you're talking about the Chiefs and their running game, which is their strength, and the Panthers are pretty good against the run. So this is going to come down, and I will say this, you have two of the better tight ends in the league right now in this game with Travis Kelce, the Chiefs, and Greg Olsen of the Panthers. So this is that's a very intriguing
The other game that I find very intriguing and I wouldn't mind watching is Atlanta at Philadelphia.
Yeah, I think that game has lost a little bit of its luster because I think teams have kind of figured out Carson Wentz a little bit. But yeah, that still has some intriguing things. Another game I find somewhat intriguing is actually the Denver Broncos at the New Orleans Saints, because New Orleans has climbed back into this thing.
Yeah.
Especially in that division.
Yeah, I'm rooting for New Orleans.
And that... yeah. Well, and this is one of the key things where it's the irresistible force meets the immovable object, because that New Orleans Saints offense is just scary, but that Denver defense, even with what the Raiders did the other night.
What I'm curious is if the NFL is going to take note on what the Raiders did and incorporate a similar game plan to that team, you know.
I don't think the Saints have the type of offensive line the Raiders do.
This is true, but it's going to be interesting to see them try that Denver defense to try and slow down that offense of the Saints. So, I mean, they're always formidable at home. I mean, yeah. When the Raiders won that first game, yeah. You know, it was a shootout. So,
yeah. Now, there's two other games on the schedule that I at least find intriguing, Kevin. I was curious of your thoughts on them. The first one is the Vikings at the Redskins. Vikings are skidding a little, and the Redskins are kind of one of those weird teams. One week they're really good, the next week not so much. So it's kind of hard to figure out what to expect from them.
Yeah, this is one of those games for both teams where I think they need it really, really bad. It's not a marquee matchup by all means. But it's one of those important games that means so much in the eventual standings. And the loser of this game will pretty much be pigeonholed, I think, into mediocrity. Because, you know, especially what's happening with Minnesota, they started off so strong and now they're floundering, you know. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, you want to talk about team that's killed by injuries. Yeah. That's definitely the Minnesota Vikings. Now, we were talking about two mediocre teams, but this game intrigues me more than anything because of an individual player storyline, and that's the Dolphins at the Chargers, because I'm all over the Jay Ajayi story at this point.
Yeah, he's been a bright spot for them. Yeah. Melvin Gordon and Jay Ajayi, that's going to be fun, man.
So, but I think, you know, the rest of it, I mean, again, we're looking at this mediocrity of the NFL right now, and I mean, it's been a tough season to watch the NFL, Kevin, as much as it kills me to say that. I that's how I feel at this point. I mean, yes, you're happy. We're both happy. Our teams are doing well. But, you know, you just watch turn on the Red Zone or your local broadcasts of teams. It's some ugly football right now. And I think the NFL has some things that
I completely agree, man. You're right. When you watch the highlights, they're not really highlights. As you mentioned in our other show, man, I really miss George Michael and the Sports Machine. At least he made all of that look good.
Isn't that the truth? But on that note, I think we need to tell people where they can find us and find where they can start making their plans to make their playbook so they end up here in the end zone. And that all starts with trying to find us. And we are on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. You can also find the Fandom Podcast Network on Facebook with our Facebook page. We also have a group. We'd love for you to join that. You can email us at thefandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can find us at FanPod Network on Twitter. You can find myself at AKyleW on Twitter. Where can they find the Raider
Nerd on
Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And of course, you know, we have our other programming. We're dealing with pop culture and different kind of nerdy fun things. We've got Culture Clash, our weekly news, pop culture news show. We've got Flan and Flashback right now, which we're covering the movies of 1986 as they're all hitting their 30th anniversary. We just put out the third part and we covered some amazing films such as Aliens, Manhunter, The Fly, Flight of the Navigator, Crocodile Dundee. It just goes
Big Trouble
on and
in Little China, Stand By Me, One Crazy Summer, goes on and on, man. Yeah. You're right.
And we had the whole, it was so big for this one section, we had the whole crew involved on it at some point or other. Kevin, you hosted it, did an amazing job along with Davis Grayson and our network friend Aaron Gill, who had some very personal stories involving Crocodile Dundee that I encourage anybody to go take a listen. But I hopped in for a little bit. Of course, Norman C. Lau, our other co-founder, popped in a little bit.
Yeah.
And that Lopan guy.
Yeah.
Guy
stirring
too.
Up some trouble. Lopan.
Disconcerting, but. Yes, go figure. And of course, if you need more, if you liked what you hear on the Flashback and you need more 80s movies, you can always visit the Couch Potato Theater, grab your popcorn, grab your potato chips, sit back, listen to our commentaries and discussions. We've covered Transformers the movie, Megaforce, most recently The Last Starfighter. We got some fun things planned for the holidays with the Couch Potato Theater and the Phantom Flashback. Going to be quite enjoyable. And of course, Kevin, you, all you guys are doing over there covering Highlander.
Yeah, man, it's been a lot of fun. We've just interviewed Norman regarding his sword experience at Stanley's Kamikaze LA convention with Adrian Paul, the star of Highlander, the TV series. Got to cross swords with him and do a wonderful experience learning the sword choreography for this time. It was for the end of the Blade movie. With Deacon Frost and Blade, and I interviewed him extensively about his experience. So everyone that was curious about how these events go and are curious in a little prep work before they go to one themselves. And trust me, I took some notes.
Yeah, I'm sure you did, because I know you're going to be working hard at that at LashCon at the end of November, yeah. Beginning of December. So looking forward to that. But you know, I want to just, again, apologize to everybody for the mishap with the end zone last week. That is strictly on me. The Raider nerd had nothing to do with it. He's already given me my 20 lashes with his Raider gear. I think I have a Raiders insignia imprinted on my back, at least for a few weeks. But, you know, again, I want to thank everybody for listening. You guys have been incredibly supportive. We know this is a little something different here on the Fandom Podcast Network, but that's what we're about, because it's about covering all the fandoms. And, you know, Kevin, I think it's time for that final play. I'm guessing we're about the 45.
That's right, man.
We're going for it. We're going for the Hail Mary. Which one of us is going deep? Because I'm getting tired.
I'm throwing it like Carr, man. So you're catching it. You're catching it.
Oh, okay. Okay, you're gonna make me run. Well, with that, we hope all your plays and your teams, good, bad, or otherwise, they all end up joining us here in the end zone.